Father, bless this time right now in the name of Jesus. Bless this service, Father, and help us to understand and bear witness to your word, Father, as we go through this tonight. And we give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to, you can open in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. We're going to come to this passage of Scripture, and also we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2 for just a moment. I wanted to talk to you about this subject that the mind produces the body. The mind produces the body. I'd read this to you in an altar service, but I wanted to just kind of formally read this to you tonight. This was a prophecy given by Smith Wigglesworth in 1939, and this is what he saw. And so, if you would, just listen carefully. I respect this man. I respect the things that God did through his life. And so I believe that what he saw, I would bear witness to this. It's in my heart to see done. I've been preaching this all year, but I didn't know this prophecy all year. This was really given to me in the last month or so that I saw this, and it just bears witness with what I've been preaching, and I believe others have been preaching. And so I want to bring this to you as a church. Y'all, this is our church, and this is our great privilege and our great honor to serve God. This is our generation that we get to represent Jesus Christ in. And I just pray that we would take that privilege as God intends it to be, a great joy, a great honor for us to represent Jesus right now. And so Wigglesworth said this. He said, after that, after the third wave, I see the last day revival that's going to usher in the precious fruit of the earth. It will be the greatest revival this world has ever seen. It's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. The ministry gifts will be flowing on this planet Earth. I see hospitals being emptied out. And I want you to notice how he says they will be emptied out. Not so much because of the people going in to pray for the sick. They will be emptied out because they are going to be brought out of the hospitals. They're going to bring the sick to the churches where they allow the Holy Ghost to move. And I believe that there is going to be a great harvest that is brought in. I just honestly believe that. I believe that there's going to be a move of God in the earth where prodigals are going to come home. I believe there's going to be a move of God in the earth where people that are in deception to other religions and other things that they worship are going to be brought out and they're going to come to Jesus Christ. We find this happening in parts of the world right now where there is a great move of God. And we've heard of revivals taking place in Iran. We've heard of moves of God in China. We've heard of things happening in North Korea. I don't know that these things are going to take place in the United States of America as they may occur in other parts of the world because we're so comfortable and people are so comfortable. But I pray that we will get to see it. And one of the things that Wigglesworth said that is going to be unique, where the sick are going to be brought, where the miracles of God are going to take place, it is among those people where the gifts of the Spirit are able to operate. And it's going to be in those churches that allow the Holy Ghost to move. And so I say this to you tonight, beloved, that I want us to be a church that allows the Holy Spirit to move. And I understand that it's not for us to give permission to the Holy Spirit as to what He can and cannot do. He can do anything that He wants. But let us not forget that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And the Holy Spirit can be quenched. And the Holy Spirit can be resisted. And I do not want us to be a church that resists Him or quenches Him. The word quench is like pouring a bucket of water on an open flame and it's just putting it out. And sometimes that can happen, you know. Maybe we would be the kind of people where God begins to move in somebody's life that we don't approve of. We don't approve of them. And so what God's wanting to do through their life, we take a bucket of water and we just pour that on that life. And we just say, you're not going to move among us. We don't approve of you or whatever. And I'm not talking about somebody that brings a different gospel or a different Jesus. Maybe they just didn't come up the way we came up, and maybe they're just a little bit different or a little bit unique in their life. I don't want us to quench the Holy Spirit. I don't want us to grieve Him by the way we treat one another. That's how we grieve the Holy Spirit, being unkind, being unforgiving, holding on to bitterness, being people of gossip and people of slander, being Christians who are so immature that we're so easily offended, and we build up walls against other people, and we form our own cliques, and we only operate within that group that thinks like me or acts like me or behaves like me. And that's what grieves the Holy Spirit. He loves His whole body. He loves everybody in it. He loves the people that are mature, and He loves the people that are immature. He loves the babies in Christ, and He loves the mature in Christ. He loves those that are not mature, and they should be. He still loves them, and He hasn't thrown them away, and He wants to bring them to where they're supposed to be in Christ. And He wants to move through our life to be like that. He wants us to be patient with each other. He doesn't want us to strike His body. These are ways that we invite the Holy Spirit to move among us. It's not like we're gathering, okay, Holy Spirit, we now give You permission to move. That is by no means what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being a place where the Holy Spirit can freely move is being a people who believe that God is in me and He wants to do things through me. And God is in you and He wants to do things through you. And it's even recognizing sometimes and understanding if it comes up, I am very jealous of you. I'm very jealous of what God is doing in you. That jealousy in me would begin to grieve the Holy Spirit. And it's not the fact that I can remove that jealousy out of my life. It's not that I can't remove the pride out of my flesh. But I can openly confess that to the Lord, that God, I am full of jealousy and I am full of pride. And I know this is not pleasing to You, and I want You to just put this down in my life. I don't want to hinder You because of this attitude in my heart. I want to be able to rejoice in that person's success. I want to be able to rejoice in that individual's anointing. I want to be able to rejoice in what they're doing. Wendy comes in here one Sunday maybe, and she brings 1,500 people in here from off the streets and international students, and they're all wanting to get baptized, and they're all giving their lives to Jesus, and they've all been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And we're like, well, man, I wanted to do that. I've been witnessing to somebody for years, and I don't think I've gotten anybody saved in the last 2 years. And it's just not right. It's just not fair. We get this attitude in us that grieves the Holy Spirit. We should be happy about that. We should be excited about that. We should be thrilled with what God is doing through our individual and unique lives, and not aspiring to be like one another, but wanting to just be everything God wants me to be, and wanting to be able to do everything God has for me to do. And it may not be exactly the way God does it through somebody else. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Our youth worship team is called Anointed, and our old people's worship team is called Anthem. I love that. The old people are Anthem. And so, you know, it's not like Anointed is like trying to be Anthem, right? It's just like God has put it in their hearts to lead worship, and they just want to be who God wants them to be. And we don't judge them on the basis of Anthem, or judge them on the basis of a choir, somebody else. It's like, I want to see God in you and what God is doing in you. And I want to encourage that in your life. Oh, people, I tell you with all of my heart, I want to be a place where God can move. I want to be a place where we believe God can move through me, that God can move through you. It is Jesus Christ who has qualified us. And it's not for us, you know, I just say that Jesus Christ has brought us to a place through His blood where we are all kings and priests unto our God. And I ask you and I implore you with all of my heart that we would be a people who would desire and pray and allow the Holy Spirit to move in our church. That if this move of God were begin to happen in the earth, in our day, in our generation, if this is indeed the last days, and there begins to be such a move of the Holy Spirit because of the gifts of the Spirit and churches that allow the Holy Spirit to move, then please, for God's sake, let First New Testament be one of those churches. And let us rejoice in every other church that that's way as well. But let us be the church that the Lady of the Lake Hospital says, we got more sick that we can take care of. Let's send them to First New Testament because they're being healed over there. They're being delivered over there. And let us have that reputation of the glory of God and the power of God in our midst. Don't you want that? Don't you want it for God and not just for yourself? And not just for our church, but we want it for God and the power of God and the glory of God. I believe every believer should desire to be an agent of the Holy Spirit. What else would you want to be? What else is better than that? What other profession or job could you hold that would be superior than being an agent of the Holy Spirit? What else could you possibly do? What could you invest yourself in that would be more valuable than your investment in the kingdom of God? There's a passage in Joshua where Joshua takes Israel across the Jordan River and they're in the promised land, and Joshua is looking over the situation with Jericho. And before they engage in the battle, Joshua goes out and he encounters this man with a drawn sword. And Joshua confronts him because he looks like a man and he's got a sword in his hand. And so Joshua confronts him and Joshua says, are you for us or are you for them? And this man that Joshua is confronting makes this statement, no. In other words, neither. I'm not for them. I'm not for you. I am the captain of the Lord's host. I'm for God. I'm for God's kingdom. And we know that that man was maybe a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ because he received worship from Joshua. But he came and we know that he gave victory to Joshua over the enemies of the Lord. But he wasn't doing it for Israel. He was doing it for himself. He was doing it for his own name. And beloved, I want you to understand there's another choice. Rather than God, are you for us or are you for them? Are you for the church or are you for the world? And God says, no, I'm for the kingdom of God. And the church needs to be for the kingdom of God. That's what God is for. The Holy Spirit is for Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. He comes for Jesus. And if he's going to move, then he's going to move on behalf of Jesus Christ. And I pray that that would be the simplicity of our desire, that he would move for Jesus Christ through our lives. And so I think we should all desire to be an agent of the Holy Spirit. And I do not believe that there is any doubt whatsoever, where should I be investing my efforts to work and to be an influence and a help to the Holy Spirit in my life? The Bible says this. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the Holy Spirit puts us in the body of Christ where it pleases him. Not where it pleases you or pleases them. But he puts you in the body of Christ where it pleases him. And when the Holy Spirit assigns us to a local body of Christ, then right there is where I can begin to invest so much of my time, so much of my energy, and so much of my effort into really helping and promoting the kingdom of God. It's not that I can't do it elsewhere. You understand that. But it is to invest myself there because that's where the Holy Spirit has placed me. And the church is not a place that you attend. The church is a body that you are made a part of. And not everybody's a hand or a foot or a nose or an ear or a mouth. Not everybody is that. So you are a part of the body of Christ that the rest of the body of Christ cannot do without. Your function and your role is extremely important. And it should excite you as a Christian to be able to understand right here is where I can serve God. Right here is where I don't need to look to distant lands in order to fulfill purpose for the kingdom of God. He's placed me right here. And so I want to jump in, God. I want to be involved. I want to serve. I want to advance your kingdom. I want the gifts of your Spirit to work through my life. It's not, oh, one day when I get to India or one day when I get to Africa, I'm going to teach Bible studies or I'm going to preach or I'm going to begin to pray for the sick. No, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to do it right here because this is where you've placed me. I believe that's what we should be doing. How can anyone who loves God not want to devote themselves to the cause of God? Why would we want to devote ourselves to anything else more than that? God is constantly wanting us to draw near to Him. And there is nothing, absolutely nothing that you can do that would be superior or outweigh or be more valuable than what you do for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a pulpit. And I'm not saying that you have to have a stage presence. And I'm not saying that you have to teach a Sunday school class or you have to have some visible presence in the church. If God gives you careers as a teacher, or God gives you careers as a doctor, or God gives you careers as an engineer, or God gives you careers as a carpenter, or whatever it may be, that is your God-assigned position, and that is as spiritual as any pastor in a pulpit. Because that's where God's placed you, and that's what He wants you to do. And you do that as unto the Lord. Your value is not what you do. Your value is why you do it. That's the value of your life. And so whatever it is that you're doing, are you doing it for the kingdom of God? Are you doing it so the Holy Spirit can move in gifts through your life? Are you doing it so the Holy Spirit can move within the body of Christ that you are a part of? I believe people should be asking questions. What can I do to bring revival to my church? I think that ought to be a question on everybody's heart. I think that ought to be a question on young people's hearts. What can I do to bring revival to my church? And you can break this down in many different ways, but I would break it down in this way. How can I be a catalyst for a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit all the time? Because one thing about it is the Holy Spirit's always fresh. He's not stagnant water. He's not a dead pool. And so if I'm stagnant and I'm a dead pool of water, I need a revival in my life. Because if I'm stagnant and I'm a dead pool of water, then that's what I'm bringing to the house of God. Stagnant water. And water can go bad. I remember years ago we bought water to go to Russia. And that water, I didn't know it could ever be spoiled. It was so spoiled. It was terrible. We couldn't even drink it. And I would not want us to be stagnant water in our church. So you have to ask yourself the question, am I bringing in a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit through my life? Or am I tired? Am I bored? Am I run down? Am I discouraged and I'm depressed? And I'll be honest with you, I can't tell you how many times I've come to church depressed and down and feeling stagnant and feeling absolutely nothing to give. But I wanted to do something for God. I didn't want to minister out of myself. I've come in here a lot of times on Sunday nights for prayer meeting. You have no idea how tired I am. You have no idea how exhausted I am, how I can hardly stay awake walking into this church, but I'm coming in for prayer meeting and I'm thinking, dear God, we're fighting for people's lives tonight. I'm a soldier in war. I can't be apathetic. I can't let my fatigue or my weariness dictate what happens tonight. God, I've got to praise you. I've got to be with you. I've got to get into your presence. I've got to fight like a soldier. Maybe you'll come tonight. Maybe somebody will get the victory tonight. Maybe somebody will be healed tonight. I don't know. But God, I want to be a catalyst of what you want to do. And so we should desire to be a fresh moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. We should also desire to be holy. We should desire for the exposure before God, not necessarily for each other, of personal sin in our life, to be holy to God through the means of grace, not through the means of the law, but to be holy through the means of grace, to be pure in heart and pure in mind, and to want the church to be holy, to have a cleanliness, to have a glory about it, the glory of God about it, to have the presence of God in our midst. What is the greatest thing we could give one another other than the presence of God? And so we should, if we love one another, if I love you, then I want to give you the presence of God. And if I have something to do about it, then I want to do all I can about it. Because I want you to have that in your life. And so I have to walk in that by faith. It's not feelings, because a lot of times I don't feel it. But I have to walk in that by faith and trust the Lord in it. And to have a compassion for you and a compassion for the harvest. To want to bring the harvest. Guys, you should want to see the lost saved. If you can't go out to LSU, you should be praying for it. If you can't go out to the abortion clinics, you should be praying. If you can't go to Palm Apartments with Joe, you should be praying. We can't go do everything, but we can pray without ceasing. We should have a desire for this. Don't you believe that that's who the Holy Spirit believes that wants Him to move? It's not people who gather together in a church service and say, oh, we want the Spirit of the Lord to move in our church today. The Holy Spirit's not fooled by that. The Holy Spirit knows that the people who really want me to move among them are the people who greatly desire my presence. They greatly desire holiness before me through the means of grace. They desperately and long for the harvest to be reached and lost to be saved. And they want that on a daily basis. It's consuming them. And the Holy Spirit knows that's the ones that are really inviting me. And I want that in my life. I'm certainly not perfect in that. I have a lot lacking in me in regards to that. I'm convicted right now about it, as a matter of fact. But I want God to do that in my life. I know that is the truth of God. And so I pray that we would desperately desire this. And so again, I just say that to you. It's not for you to see. How can I serve God in distant lands? How can I contribute to the kingdom of God in some ministry that's out there doing something for God? Maybe Franklin Graham or something. No, this is where God's placed us. This is where we can serve. This is where we can give. This is where we can minister. And it's exciting to do it. Let me give you an example of this. When the church was very new and early on in its new beginnings, there was a situation that arose in the church. And a group of elderly women went to Peter and the other apostles and said to them, we are being neglected. We are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. Now that's a serious thing. Widows, elderly women, being neglected in the distribution of food for their own substance. I mean, this is a church split. This is serious, you know. This is not going to turn out well. And Peter hears the situation, he understands what's going on, and he makes a statement. It may seem totally insensitive to some of us, but it was really the wisdom of God. And Peter says, listen, we don't have time to wait on tables. Now that's a strong statement for somebody to make. We have to give ourselves to prayer and to study in God's Word. So you need to choose from among yourselves 7 men who are full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. And you need to put them in charge of waiting on tables. Now please just stay with me for a second. Because everybody wants to be the pastor. Everybody wants to be the evangelist. Everybody wants to be the worship leader. I'm saying that in general, okay? But here it is. Peter and the apostles, we study the Word. And we pray. But these other 7 guys... who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of wisdom, they're not the holy people. We might form that opinion. I don't think Peter did. They're not the holy people who study the Bible and pray. They're the workers. They're serving tables. They're looking at what's in the food pantry and what people need and how to distribute that to people and to make sure that nobody's being neglected and nobody's being overlooked. And if we were to picture this, we would think, oh man, I want the apostles' job. But these men were so blessed. And out of these men, you have guys with the likes of Stephen and Philip, who became absolutely incredible. It was one of the most brilliant decisions of the Holy Spirit to be able to tell Peter that, listen, Peter, you're an apostle. There's a problem in the church. You can't do it all. And if you take upon you the responsibility of handling every problem in the church, then everybody's always going to look to you, and you've got to show the church, I have other people in the church besides you that can get the job done. You're not the only people in the church that are full of the Holy Spirit. You're not the only men in the church that have wisdom. Hey, you know that. The pastor and staff are not the only people in the church that have the Holy Spirit. I'm not the only person in the church that has wisdom. I believe your wisdom trumps me most of the time. And that just simply says what Peter's decision was by the Holy Spirit is he released that day in the body of Christ new ministry and new leadership that would spring forth and diametrically begin to bring revival and change into the new world. It would be Stephen, not Peter, not Paul, not John, not Matthew. It would be Stephen, who would be the first martyr and lead the church through the valley of death into the presence of God. Stephen did that. Stephen would be a mighty preacher. It would be Philip who would bring revival to entire cities because they took the responsibility of waiting on a table to make sure people's needs were being met, that God would promote them from tables to revivals in cities. And we have sometimes in our churches, we have people and we have situations where I don't want to do that and I want to do that. I don't want to do these things. But Stephen and the others, they just took this responsibility upon them. They began to minister into the situation, what might seem to be a very demeaning position, not a very spiritual position in people's eyes, because that's what the apostles did. Oh, but it was beautiful to God. And it was wonderful to God, and it was beautiful to the church, and the church didn't split, and people were being taken care of, and then God begins to advance these men. Because the church had need. It wasn't because Stephen perceived it. It wasn't because Philip perceived it. It wasn't like Stephen comes over here and says, Peter, listen, I need to tell you something. There's a problem going on in the church, and I don't know if you're aware of it. But we're on the verge of a split here because we've got widows that are being neglected and I would like to take the job. I see the need. That's not the way it was. He didn't see it. He didn't bring it to Peter. Somebody else did. And then Peter said to the church, find you some help. And they found seven men and said, we need your help. It wasn't something that they were looking for. It wasn't something they were sending resumes in. Let me do this in the church. Let me do that. No, the church had a need. And they brought it to men that were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And the men did it and God promoted them. Beloved, that's what we need to do for our churches. If we want to see the Holy Spirit move, it's not just in a pulpit that the Holy Spirit moves. It's in the nursery. It's in the children's church. It's in that tech booth up there where these precious people, look at them up there working. Look at them. They're up there working. Do you not think that they would like to be down here sometimes enjoying worship and enjoying the preaching without having to just be, you know, fooling with the camera and fooling with the social media and making sure that they're getting text. I can't hear. I can't hear. I'm one of them when I'm not here. I can't hear it. I can do something about it. And they're like, I just love to worship one day. And we sit down here and we're having such a wonderful time. We love it. We get to worship and all of this. And it's like, where's the compassion? Hey, I want to relieve you. I want you to be able to, I want to help. Where does the church need me? What about going out to the Palm Apartments with Joe and being able to see, knocking on doors and being able to minister to people and help people do it? What about a food pantry? What about this ministry? What about that ministry? Where are things that we can do that the church has need of us? Because there is more to do than there is more of us to do it. There's more to do. And it's exciting. And when we begin to do those things, then God begins to promote us. And He begins to enlarge us. And when it's done unto God, there's no such thing as only a choir member. No such thing as only an usher. Don't tell Stephen, you're just a waiter at the table. Oh no, you're going to be a wonderful witness for Jesus Christ. You're going to change the world of Christianity, Stephen. That's what God's going to do through your life. And so I just pray that you get that and I pray that you understand it. In Romans chapter 12, I want you to see this. He says, and we're going to begin in verse 3. He says, I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now listen to this. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. There's many of us, right? And we don't all do the same thing. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and we're members one of another. Now listen, if I am a member of you, and you are a member of me, and I'm doing all the giving, and you're doing all the receiving, what's going to happen to me? We are members together. And what God has in you, I desperately need. We need that from one another. This professionalization of the church that has gone on through denominationalism for decades has robbed the church of its body function. We hire professional staff to do things. Now, we're very blessed in this church, because the membership of this church does so very much. But I want you to see you're doing it for God and for His kingdom, and by the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says this in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now you might have the same gift as somebody else, but they might have a greater measure of it because of the grace on them. And so there's different gifts, and it's according to the grace that's given to us. And it says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. And I love that word, let us. It means do it. Do it. If we have prophecy, prophesy, but do it according to the proportion of faith. If you have ministry, let us wait on our ministering. That means attend to it. Doesn't mean wait. Attend to it. He that teaches on teaching, he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it. Do it. Just do it. You don't need people to constantly be beside you telling, okay, it's fine to do it now. Do it if you have that giving. Do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. And so he's telling the church here, listen, you've got gifts in you. He never says, listen, some of you have gifts of the Spirit. And those of you that have gifts of the Spirit in your life, you need to discover what those things are. And you need to begin. No, he doesn't say some of you. He says we're all members of the same body. We all have need of one another. We're all joined to one another. We all have gifts. And we need to let the gifts operate through our life. Do it. Let it happen. Serve the Lord. And don't look at somebody else, because they're not your standard. It's the grace that's given to you, and you do it according to the faith that you have to do it. And you exercise that gift as unto the Lord. I want you to understand it, because it is for the benefit of everybody. And would to God we would all live for something that is much greater than ourselves. And this is what we find God constantly doing. Empowering people to do things that are way beyond themselves. That's what gifts are. To give you the ability that is way beyond yourself. When you live that, you have stepped into a supernatural life. You're living by the life and the power of another. And that is the life that God wants us to live. Whether it was Stephen accepting the role to wait on tables, he did that by his faith in God to be able to meet the need. And he served God there, and he served him well there, and God blessed him. Now in Philippians chapter 2, I want you to read with me, if you will, just a very brief passage of scripture here. But it's so instructive, and it's so necessary. In Philippians chapter 2, he says, we're going to begin in verse 1. If there be therefore any comfort in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So just asking that question, it kind of comes back to what I began with tonight. Did you come here tonight with others in mind? Did you come here tonight considering the week that some people might have had? The battles that some people might be in? The struggles that some people might be fighting? Did you come here tonight with them in mind and understand, you know what? They need the presence of God tonight. I've got to praise the Lord. I've got to pray. I've got to be a catalyst of the Holy Spirit tonight. I've got to be willing to exercise my gifts tonight. Maybe the Lord would have me give a word of wisdom. Or maybe the Lord would have me give a prophecy tonight that could save somebody from a decision they're about to make tomorrow. I have to, because God puts us together as a body to serve one another. And so I just ask you that. Did you come with a humility today that's considering other people and everybody else over yourself? Because that's the mind of Christ. That's not our mind. That's the mind of Christ, to consider others. And I'm not going to be much longer. He says in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it talks about the humility of Jesus and the willingness of Jesus to serve. And I just ask you that, because if we want to be a church where the Holy Spirit moves, are you willing to serve? Are you willing to be lowly? Are you willing to accept tasks that you're not very keen with? It wouldn't be your choice, but it is the need that you see. Are you willing to do those types of things? Are you willing to come thinking about everybody else besides yourself? How can I serve them? How can I take care of them? What sacrifices can I make to help that service, to help that altar, to help the people, to help the praise team? How can I help them tonight? What can I do? That's the mind of Christ. And you know, he says in verse 5, let this mind be in you. In a little study, you would find what that means is, let it operate in you. Let it be operative in you. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have the life of Jesus in you, but are you letting that life operate? Are you letting that life dictate for you? Or do we let the flesh dictate for us? I'm tired. I've had a rough week. I've had a discouraging week. I've had a very painful week. I've had abuse this week. I just have nothing to give. Well, if you need help, what does the Bible say? Give, and it shall be given. And that's how we receive help, is by giving. We put ourselves last, and we put others. But that's supernatural. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Now, I want to tell you how important the mind is. Because the mind of a runner will develop a runner's body. A runner's stamina, because that's their mind. You know, see Mark will come in here, and he runs. He's 60 years old. He runs marathons all the time. I love this man. Always coming up and showing me his medals, because it just shows this is his passion. It's so important to him. And he'll come and show me those medals, and I'll just boast in those things and compliment him on what he's done and what he's accomplished. But he's 60 years old and he runs 6 miles a day, because that's his mind. That's what he wants. His mind loves that. The mind of a boxer will develop a boxer's body. I love watching boxing. My dad watched boxing. Amateur boxing's the best, because in the first round they're totally exhausted after they've just thrown shadow punches all night long, you know, and they're just exhausted, and you're just watching them. I was watching this on YouTube. It was a person with severe physical defects, but they wanted to box so bad that they trained their body to be able to get into a ring and fight. And they weren't successful in the match, but they were successful enough to get in the match. Your mind is going to develop the life and the body. It's going to go after it with all that it has. And the mind of Christ will develop the body of Christ. It will. And if you have any other mind, that's what you're going to develop in your life and in your atmosphere. But if we all had the mind of Christ, then we would develop the body of Christ. We would want the body of Christ to be exceptional. We would want the body of Christ to be functional. We would want the body of Christ to be strong. We would want the body of Christ to be famous. We would want the body of Christ to be glorious. We would want the body of Christ to be absolutely fulfilled in every way. If that was our mind, and I promise you that's His mind, is to make this all to the glory of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I ask you tonight in closing, what is your mind? What is it? Are you meek? Are you humble? Are you lowly like Jesus was? Did you come in here tonight thinking about everybody else? I wonder what people have been through today. I wonder what battles people have fought this week. I wonder how Billy and Rose are feeling tonight. I wonder if they'll be there. I wonder if he's okay. You know, you think about things like that. You think about things that people are going through in work and stress and situations. And you just begin to consider them and say, God, I want to serve them. I want to help them. I want your gifts to work through my life. Please let them work through my life, God, because people need you. Isn't that a loving body? Wouldn't that be a loving place to be in and to be a part of? And wouldn't that be so attractive for Jesus that so many would come and they would just be looking for that kind of a fellowship, that kind of a love, that kind of an operation of the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit would have no problem pouring out His power on a people like that. Pouring out His strength and His glory on a people like that. Because they're not selfish and they're not going to turn it into their own glory. They're going to keep it for Jesus Christ. So I just ask you, what kind of mind do you have? I ask you that. I ask you the gifts of the Spirit operating in your life. I ask you, this is where the Lord's put you. How are you investing yourself right here in the kingdom of God? What tables are you waiting on for the kingdom of God? Oh, we're all busy. We're all busy. Our value is not what we do, but why we do it. And why do you do what you do? Everything is for Jesus. Everything. So I just want you to search your heart tonight, because I come back to that prophecy of Wigglesworth. And I just say to you, how many of you really desire God? Use us. Use us in this hour. Let us be a people that you can pour out your Spirit upon. You can manifest your presence in. That miracles can be done for the glory of Jesus. That hospitals would be emptied out because they would bring their sick here. That this would be a place that people are being healed by the power of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that that would occur in churches all over our city. I pray, Father, that the mind of Christ would be in us. That we would be a humble people, loving one another, serving one another. Soldiers, armed for battle and engaged in the conflict. To finish this race. I just encourage you tonight, if you would, just really, really commune with the Lord for just a few minutes tonight. Just really commune with Him. Just let Him search you. Do you come with stagnant water? You're not fresh. The fire in you is so small. Come on, let the Holy Spirit just ignite you again. Let him move fresh water through you. Rivers of living water. That's what he wants. So men can come and drink in Jesus. Let's build a great church. Let's build a strong church in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's serve through our gifts. Let's minister to the needs. Let's wait on tables if that's our assignment. Nothing is too small or insignificant for the King. Nothing. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Maybe just even pray right now, God, give me a compassion for other people. Help me be able to see them. Help me to be able to recognize them. Help me to help them. Help me to help the body of Christ. Help me to help those that you've made me a part of, Lord. And oh God, let it be great for Jesus. Let it be great for Him.